as I wait.
Heart of God. Hello, new life, and welcome to our Growth Group podcast. You are very fortunate that we have begun our new Emotionally Healthy Spirituality series. It's going to be great. There's such anticipation here. The first of 8 weeks going through a book by Peter Scazzera. Am I pronouncing that right?
I believe you are.
Scazzera. Look at those two Z's back to back. Yeah, this is a powerful, powerful book, and yeah, we're fortunate to be able to go through it all together as a church and as growth groups. So week one of Emotionally Healthy Spirituality is a sermon that you've entitled The Problem.
Yes, because I think that one of the things that's really challenging about this whole concept of emotionally healthy spirituality, because it really, emotionally healthy spirituality sort of encompasses two concepts, really. The concept of emotional health and the concept of contemplative spirituality.
Yeah, I've noticed that already.
And they're combined because really it is the contemplative spirituality which builds the emotional health. But the reason why the first sermon is called The Problem is because a very significant number of people they've not really thought about whether they have emotional health or whether they haven't.
Right.
And they're pretty comfortable where they are. And so really, if you don't, in a sense, shake the tree, you're not going to ask yourself the question, am I emotionally healthy? Mm-hmm. And why do I do the things that I do? Because a number that you can read a number of authors, and including Pete Scazzera, who will tell you, if you don't know yourself, you are really limited in how much you know God. Mm. And so if you don't recognize, the problem is what we recognize about ourselves.
So you're going to be shaking us up on Sunday, it sounds like.
David, I think I've said to a number of people before, one of the things that I've done in my preparation for this series is to ask not only, for God to help me prepare the sermons, but to shake me up. Mm-hmm. Because I believe that if God wants to shake us up, and I think that I need to go first.
Mm. So one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread, one shaken up person
offering shaking for other
free
people.
Free passes to the roller coaster for everyone else. That's great. That's great. And it just occurred to me, this combination of ideas in this book between recognizing your own potential emotional unhealth, and then this call to a contemplative life, is really a combination of the 21st century and many centuries that came before it. I feel like this idea of emotional health, at least expressed in those terms, is definitely a modern... it's become a modern industry. Mm-hmm. But this idea of even the term the daily office, spending time with the Lord in that way, that's an old Christian practice. And here Pete is brought those two things together.
He has.
That's neat.
And he's saying it's something we've lost, and I think that is really apparent.
Mm. Well, let's take a look at our questions. We have four of them this week. Our first question is called Stuck. Have you gone through seasons in your Christian life when you felt stuck? A man once reflected, I have been a Christian for 22 years, but I think I'm only a one-year-old Christian. I've just been reliving year one again and again. Can you relate to him?
This really sort of summarizes the question that Christian growth as in our Christian walk, does not happen automatically. It doesn't happen unless we take steps to engage with God's word, to engage with God. Mm-hmm. And so this is where, if you don't carve out time to get to know God, you won't get to know God.
Yeah.
And very often that's the reason why we've got stuck, is the fact that nobody told us that we needed to get to know God in the same way as we need to get to know other human beings. If you want to get into a really good friendship, then you need to get to know that person, and you need to invest time to get to know them and to listen to them. And the same goes for our relationship with God. It's more difficult because, of course, we can't see God. But spending time in His Word and giving Him space to speak to us through His Word is the engine of growth. And if we don't do it, we'll just relive our first Christian experience over and over again.
Right. It's like any other relationship. You think about a marriage. And when we became Christians, we were married to Christ, you might say. And what if we were to only see our spouse one day of the week? And the other 6 days, we are out doing our own thing, living back at home with someone else, and then we only see them once.
And I think that one of the things that I think, because of the particular nature of a spiritual relationship, is that many people don't know there's any more. Don't know there is any more.
Right. They're not aware that they could go deeper with God.
And you know, you read, there are two scriptures which really have made an impact on me as I've looked at this. And one is the parable of the sheep and the goats. When God comes to the final judgment and He separates the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25.
Of course.
When he says, I was hungry, you didn't feed me, and all of those things. Mm-hmm. And then they say, When? How did we miss it? And I began to ask myself, how did they get to that place? How did they get to the place where Jesus says to them, I know you? Because they certainly didn't realize He didn't know them.
Yeah, the same could be said, and is said explicitly, of those in Matthew 7, where it says that I cast out demons, I did many mighty works in your name.
Exactly.
But it seems as if it was a whole lot of doing for God and not doing with and being. And
he said, "He said, get away from me! I didn't know you."
Mm-hmm.
Those two scriptures in Matthew 7 and Matthew 25. I think we have to ask ourselves, how did they get there, and are we going there? Because I think that many of the symptoms of emotionally healthy, unhealthy spirituality take us to a point where that's the potential.
Yeah, that's rather frightening. But I think that James holds out the encouragement to us that if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. So God isn't by any means holding Himself away from us.
No, and I think there's one of the other verses in James, the address I can't remember right now, but is when if you look at yourself in the mirror and then look away.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that I believe that this series, this whole book, will cause us to do, if we dare, is look at ourselves in the mirror more than once, and ask ourselves some questions. Some difficult questions.
Well, speaking of difficult questions, let's look at our second question. Symptoms of unhealthy spirituality. Pastor Jonathan, the guy I'm sitting next to, discussed 10 symptoms of unhealthy spirituality. Work through each of these until you can explain them to a baby Christian. Which one or two symptoms are most relevant in your life? Now, it's okay if this question takes the majority of your time in your growth group. We are laying important groundwork here.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think the question is very self-explanatory. When you've in the middle of the sermon, I am going to give you a list of it's in the book. I'm going to give you a list so that you can take them home, and I'm going to ask you to think about them, because some of these things, you know, you just don't realize. I mean, I think that. The first one, I'm not going to go through them all now because I'm asking you to do that, but the first one, using God to run from God. I fill my life with Christian activities to avoid the difficult issues of my life. many people who are doing that in some form or another are so much in a habit of doing it, they don't even realize they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's all sorts of other things, like, you know, dividing the secular and the sacred and doing things for God instead of being with God.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that is definitely true about this is you can begin to look at this stuff and you can run screaming away and say, I can't handle this.
Mm.
Whereas I think that doing this sort of thing together and recognizing that we all exhibit these symptoms, not all of them, but we all exhibit some of them. I would challenge any of you to say, I don't exhibit any of these symptoms anyhow. Well, you know, I'm surprised you're still alive. You ought to have died and gone to heaven because God has finished with
you. Or you're not very self-reflective.
Yeah, or you're not very self-reflective, yeah.
Now, an example of a not very self-reflective person is King Saul, and that happens to be the title of our third question, where it asks us to read 1 Samuel 15, specifically verses 12 and 24. Which of the above symptoms did King Saul exhibit? What might have been going on beneath the surface of Saul's life, that is, his iceberg, that he was unaware of? What positive steps could Saul have taken to become more aware of his own iceberg and hear God in the situation? What might be one positive step for you?
Yes, Saul, it's very interesting when you look at this, the sort of foundation of Saul's reign, of his kingship, was very similar to the foundation of David's.
Right, anointed by Samuel.
Anointed by Samuel. He gave him special gifting. He did all of those things.
Right.
He gave him a military victory.
Yeah, initial success.
Gave him a military victory. But then he gets scared. Because he does the particular incident we look at in these verses is when he was asked to annihilate the Amalekites.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would urge you not to get distracted.
There is a rabbit trail in this chapter.
There is a reason why God asks him to annihilate the Amalekites.
And if you wish to explore, it's Exodus 17 and Numbers 24 for new leaders. Exodus 17, Numbers 24. But again, I don't encourage you to
there is a
spend
reason,
much time.
But don't go down that rabbit trail. That's for another time. The issue is God gave him a very specific instruction. He gave a very specific instruction earlier in Saul's reign when he said that Samuel told him, God told him through Samuel, you've got to go to this place and you've got to wait for me when I will come and I will offer the sacrifices. It was very well established that the priest offered the sacrifices, not the king. And Saul gets scared and he says, I'm going to offer myself, I'll do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets admonished by Samuel, you did not do what you know is God's will. And then again, here he comes, he's told to annihilate the Amalekites. He says, I did it, but he strategically forgets to say, but I left some of the best sheep and the king unannihilated. And then he spiritualizes the answer.
Right. He certainly does, saying that the reason I left them was because I was going to sacrifice them, which is a great spiritual thing to do. But I think that this question is pointing at kind of like the fear of man that
right.
Saul might be going on. So in verse 12, after his success, it says that that Saul had set up a monument for himself. And then in 24, after Samuel rebukes Saul, Saul admits, I have sinned and I've transgressed the commandment. Mm-hmm. Earlier he said that he didn't, but now he finally admits it. And he says, it was because I feared the people and obeyed their voice.
Right.
Instead of the voice of God, instead of being secure in who God has called him to be as king, as someone who reflects God's own rule in God's nation of Israel and will exclusively do God's will, Samuel would rather listen to the disobedient will of the people.
He was scared. And then And then when he cut a little bit further on, he says, okay, I know I did wrong, but please come back with me and make sure the people don't see that I've done something wrong, you know, because
right.
I want you to be with me. And so there are so many pictures of different aspects of unhealthy spirituality mm-hmm. that Saul, just to give a spoiler in the future, we're going to see David confront many of the same things, but we're going to see him confront them in a very different way, which is the key to this, the difference between being an unhealthy spirituality and more healthy spirituality.
Right, because both David and Saul confess their sin.
Right.
But David's heart was changed as a result of that after being confronted by Nathan. But it seems, just like you said, right after he confessed his own sin, he commits the sin again and exhibits this fear before the people. But we're running out of time, so let's hit our last question quick. This is called balance. The diagram below, this will be a diagram that's on your bulletin, your growth group bulletin. The diagram below provides an illustration of a spiritual life where our activity, that is our doing, is out of balance with our contemplative life, our inner life with Jesus. Draw your own diagram and illustrate how your doing compares to your being. What might be one or two simple steps you can take towards beginning to slow down your life and balance your two circles? Can you describe for the listeners what that diagram looks like briefly, Jonathan?
Yes, it's got two. Our lives consist of these two circles. One is in contemplation, is your life with God. And, you know, contemplation's a word we don't use very much.
Right.
And it sounds sort of vague and mysterious. Mm-hmm. But actually what we're talking about is...
candles.
Yeah, you have candles and all the... But no, it's just simply taking time to be with God and to listen to him. Which we most of the time say, I don't have time to do that. Mm-hmm. And then, but there's all sorts of activity, and we feel like we're doing stuff for God. We're in church. We're going to places. We're serving things. We're doing all of those things, all of those good things. But our balance between the balance between that and the amount of time we spend being with God, you know, we so often forget that God's purpose for us is first and foremost that we should know him.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, our first and foremost purpose the allocation of time should be in getting to know him. Because it's out of getting to know him and out of understanding his enormous, amazing love for us that our service comes.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get to know God by serving him. You serve because you know him. And if you don't know him, it's a very short distance between feeling like I'm earning his pleasure. My activity is so important because I want to please God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our being with God must precede our serving him. And your service is going to produce very little fruit if it's just all man-centric effort in the first place.
Mm.
Well, this has been our first podcast in our new series, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, the first of eight. We hope you enjoyed this conversation and are prepped and ready to facilitate a conversation with your growth groups. And we're looking forward to what God's going to do through this series, and we're praying for all of you. We'll see you next week.
Yes.
As I wait, heart of God, satisfied. Sustain.